Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Google Jews control Wall Street. Google Jewish billionaires. Google Jews in the Federal Reserve Bank. The small ethnic Jewish population in this country, they have a firm grip on America's media, finances, and other areas of production.
Obviously, I've heard of it. I've seen it on television. I think it expresses the frustrations that the American people feel.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work.
All right, stop the music. Stop the music. I'm going to play for you again what's actually being said in the streets outside Wall Street, and in the other cities where flash mobs of a few dozen, a few hundred, a few thousand, hardcore lunatics, failures, ne'er-do-wells, malcontents, the same people, in other words, who appeared in the gutters and brought Hitler to power, are now in the gutters of America, being lauded by the vermin in the media, and of course supported by Obama because he was behind this to begin with. If you don't believe me, then spend the time to do the research as I did. The money comes from Soros. It goes to front groups. You're not going to believe it. If you actually believe this is spontaneous, then you would agree that Nancy Pelosi has an IQ above 90. The fact of the matter is this was not spontaneous. This was organized. Obama's behind it. And the fact is that if you are a Jew, I'm going to ask you again, are you a Jewish listener? Are you a Jewish listener who voted for Obama? Would you vote for him again, or have you changed your mind? Listen to this carefully.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Google Jews control Wall Street. Google Jewish billionaires. Google Jews in the Federal Reserve Bank. The small ethnic Jewish population in this country, they have a firm grip on America's media, finances, and other areas of production.
So I ask you again, Jewish listeners, do you have the guts to call the Savage Nation? Will you vote for Obama again after listening to this, or have you changed your mind as a result of what you see going on in the streets of America? We're living through one of the most dangerous periods in American history, where noted anti-Semites who have worked for Soros, such as Zbigniew Brzezinski, in my opinion, a man who was one of the most evil men on the planet. Brzezinski wants to publish a worldwide list of people who make enormous amounts of money. Now, this is something that was done in communist China under Mao Zedong, where they took the middle class and they made them march through the streets of China and they ridiculed them because they were capitalists. I want to play this to you again. I want to play something for you right now that's a little different. Here is Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the most evil men on the planet, in my opinion, the man who was the architect of the so-called Arab Spring, which was created specifically to drive the Jews into the sea, in my estimation. Here is Brzezinski saying that billionaires need to be found out and pointed out and held out. And he said there are good billionaires, though, like Warren Buffett. Listen to 28.
How many Americans are really fully aware of how many other good people, let's say like Warren Buffett and others, who really donate a lot of their earnings to charities, to philanthropy?
But you Nazi bastard, you.
Are there in the hedge
you Nazi, you.
In the banks, in
you dirty Nazi, you.
Who on the basis of speculation, literally make millions of dollars that it would take essentially...
You jealous loser, you. You and your daughter, you jealous loser, you. If you weren't working for Obama like servile slaves, your daughter wouldn't have a TV show. And let me stop right here. I can't believe what I'm listening to. I'm living through Hitler's time all over again. This is Hitler all over again. You don't even understand it. Most of you are so stupid, you don't even know what's going on around you. Brzezinski, Carter, Obama. You say, well, wait a minute, Michael. Something's wrong here. George Soros is a poor victim. He was a Jew who ran away from Hungary. How can you say that? Why you're being an anti-Semite by saying that. Really? Are you sure you know about Soros' background? Are you positive you buy the whole story, lock, stock, and barrel? Who is George Soros? Why do you buy his billion-dollar story about who he is and what his past was? I am sick of covering up for George Soros. The whole media covers up for this man. It's Soros money behind these riots across America, and it's going to touch you. I'm asking you again, and I'm only asking Jewish listeners because most of the Jewish listeners are liberals, and most Jews in this country were hoodwinked into thinking that because he was a half of a black president, he was a good man, a better man than any guy. Do you want to clear the air? What did that struck you too close to home? You think I don't understand what I'm talking about? Voted for Obama. You happy now? Is this what you got? George Bush was no good because he was a white man. Is that it? Is this what you wanted? George Bush was the best friend Israel ever had and the best friend the Jews ever had. Now take a look at what you have in the White House. Take a look now. You're going to vote for him again anyway? You're going to be a Larry David and a Woody Allen? You schmucks, you. When the hell David in Sacramento? I'm sick of this. I'm not mincing words anymore. I don't care the ramifications of what I'm saying because I'm saying the truth here.
Michael, I'm sorry. I am a proud Jew, but I'm equally embarrassed of the Jewish role in central banks and financing in this country and throughout the world. And I don't think one justifies the other. I'm as well scared.
Hold it. Wait, stop right there. You mean all banks are controlled by Jews?
No, I don't mean that at all. But I mean the Jews definitely have a hand in the creation of central banks in Europe originally and now throughout the world.
But haven't you benefited from central banks, or you'd still be trading corn like your ancestors did in Romania?
Well, what are we going to trade when the dollar is completely devalued and we can't...
Wait a minute. Don't change the argument. You're obviously a Jew who never made money, right? You're one of the losers?
No, not at all. I'm a hard-working...
No, obviously you're one of the Jews who didn't have the brains to make a living, so you resent the Jews who did make money, no doubt.
I don't resent anybody. And it's not just Jews...
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So you agree with the street protester who said that the Jews who control Wall Street should be driven out of the country?
Not at all. But I do agree...
Well, what do you mean not at all? You just said you're a Jew, and you agree with the protesters.
No, I don't agree with them completely on that note, but what I do agree with is that Jews do have a heavy role in the financial structure of this country. I don't believe Jews are inherently at fault. I believe the structure...
You mean only Jews control the finances?
No, not at all. I believe the Federal Reserve and the central banks around the world are the ones who orchestrate this, and they happen to be happy that the attention is all going to Wall Street. They're happy for people to get out there and scream about Wall Street and divert all the attention away from them.
Well, you're changing the subject again. You're using your nice guy voice, the voice you've used your whole life to meet women and to get over on people, but I'm actually listening to you. You are espousing the same line that the Nazis espoused, David. Do you understand that?
No,
Do you understand that you and Gertz and agreed with each other?
I completely disagree. I don't think it's the Jewish people inherently, but I do think that Jews are involved in the financial structure. And if I was a person...
Wait, hold it. Jews are involved in the financial structure. Is that because they're smart enough to be involved in the financial structure or because they're evil?
No, largely yes, because they're smart enough to be involved. But
okay, wait a minute. So which way do you want it? The Jews are smart enough to be involved in the structure, but they're evil because they're involved in the structure or what?
No, it's not the Jews are evil. It's that the structure itself is immoral, and I can't...
Oh, you mean money is the root of all evil, so you'd like to be trading wheat for corn?
No, I believe that central banking is the root of all evil. I believe that
central bank... Oh, that sounds very intelligent. What kind of banking would you like to see in America?
I'd like to see competitive currencies.
Let me ask you something. Did you grow up in a house where your family owned a house?
I did.
You did. And did your father take out a mortgage?
He did.
He did. And was the mortgage written by an evil Jew?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, what do you mean? What, you couldn't tell me? You're an expert on banking. You must know how your father was able to buy a house. Your father took out a mortgage, didn't he? And the mortgage was controlled by banks, wasn't it? And the banks were controlled by central banks, weren't they? And the central banks were controlled by the evil Jews you're talking about.
No, you're confusing what I'm saying.
And what about the car your parents drove? Did they not take a loan to drive that car? And wasn't that loan lent to them by a credit union, which was controlled by banks, which was controlled by Jews?
Right, but the problem is the central banks who artificially control interest rates against the
market. You see, you have a you know what I'm saying? You have partial knowledge, which is more dangerous than complete and total ignorance. You are obviously a brainwashed liberal Jew. You now have become a Stockholm Syndrome Jew. I wouldn't use the word self-hating Jew because a man like you could never hate himself. You are captive of the anti-Semites, and you've now taken on their line as your own because you've gone to liberal universities where in order to fit in and not be a bad guy, you actually started to agree with them that Zionism is evil, the central banks are evil. What else do Jews do that's evil, David?
No, it's not that Jews are evil, but it is embarrassing to me as a
And what about Israel? Should Israel disappear?
No, I hope not.
Well, what do you mean, no? Well, what do you mean? You're an expert on banking. What about Israel? Let's hear your opinion on that.
On Israel's bank, central bank?
No, on Israel, many of the same people who are saying Jews should be driven out of America are saying Israel should be driven into the sea, the Jews. You agree with them or disagree with them?
I don't believe that Jews should be driven out of America. I just say as a proud Jew.
I'm asking you about Israel. What is your position on Israel?
I believe that America should get out of Israel's affairs and let them defend themselves.
Israel should what?
I believe that America should get out of Israel's affairs and let them defend themselves.
Well, who's defending them? You know any American troops in Israel?
I said that Israel should be allowed to defend themselves without U.S.
Well, they do defend themselves. When have you last seen an American defending Israel?
No, it's not that. It's that Israel has to come begging America to take any action because they're receiving billions of dollars in aid. I think America...
Right, and of course, Egypt gets the same amount in aid within a few hundred million dollars. You're aware of that?
I think the U.S. should pull all foreign aid around the world.
I see. But in the end, though, would you like to see Israel exist or not exist?
I would like to see them exist as a completely autonomous country, not beholden
to the U.S. Would you like to see Israel exist if the evil Jewish bankers are behind the demise of the American currency?
Well, what a few immoral individuals doesn't speak to a nation. This is the danger, is that unfortunately...
So, wait a minute. All the banking problems are caused by Jews?
I never said that.
You just said that you started this discussion by saying that the central banks are all controlled by Jews. You said that.
No, that the Rothschilds came up with the entire structure. And
well, now you're jumping back 300 years. Which is it? Do Jews control the central banks today or do they not?
No, they do not. Not exclusively.
Well, you started by saying the Jews control all of the central banks in the world. You said that.
There's a disproportionate amount of Jews involved.
What do you mean a disproportionate? So if there's a disproportionate amount of Jewish brain surgeons, does that mean that they've rigged the system to become brain surgeons? Or because they're more skilled and they have better self-control and they're willing to put off pleasure for today for something for tomorrow? Which is it?
No, but I'm proud of brain surgeons who are saving people's lives. I'm not proud of individuals who are wrecking currencies and devaluing currencies against people's interests.
I see. So you've bought the line, hook, line, and sinker. It's the Jewish bankers who are ruining the world.
It's not the Jewish bankers exclusively, but unfortunately they have a hand in it as well, and it's embarrassing.
All right, so the Jewish bankers who are not exclusively ruining the banks, what would you do to them?
Well, I would prosecute all of them the same way I'd prosecute anybody involved.
Prosecute them for what?
For orchestrating the greatest financial collapse that we've probably seen in the past couple hundred years.
Would that include Alan Greenspan?
It would.
Would it include his wife on MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell, who has been giving the breezy cover-up all these years?
If she's can be found to be collaborating in any way whatsoever, she would. Anybody who's...
Would it include the board of directors of General Electric, which owns MSNBC?
I couldn't speak to that. I don't know enough about it.
Well, because there's not enough Jews on the board of directors, is that? And if it was strictly Semitic... or Semites on the board, I guess then you would agree that they should be prosecuted.
It has nothing to do with Semites, Mike.
Have a nice day. I'm just trying the audience to see what's out there now. That was a Jew who has been brainwashed in school into hating his own kind.
One thought that has occurred to me, and let me sort of mention it here casually without having really thought it through systematically, I think it would be increasingly helpful if there was a movement to publish worldwide lists of people who make, largely through speculation, enormous amounts of money almost instantly and basically hide the fact from their social contexts.
That's Zbigniew Brzezinski, Jimmy Carter's so-called national security advisor, who works basically for George Soros, one of the richest men in the world. And he says sarcastically, or is he kidding me, that he said it would be sort of helpful. He sounds like one of the chicks now on MSNBC. I guess he's been hanging around with his daughter and her cronies a little too often. It would be sort of helpful to publish worldwide lists of people who make enormous amounts of money. Well, if they didn't steal the money, why would you want to publish that list other than to steal it from them? Well, he goes on now. This is something that was done in the Soviet Union and done under Mao Zedong, where 60 million people were killed. Pol Pot killed 3 million in the middle class. Listen next in 29.
Might have also some effect, not only in terms of moving towards more systematic international coordination and regulation, but also to pressure some of those people to give some of it back to society.
International coordination and regulation. If this is not the voice of an international communist, and give it back to society, you mean they've paid taxes, that's not enough for you, Brzezinski? Why don't you start with your boss, George Soros? Why don't you start with Jeffrey Immelt? Why don't you start with General Electric, which earned over $5 billion? They pay your daughter's salary, Zbigniew. Why do you hate the Jews so much, Zbigniew Brzezinski? Well, do I have to ask the question? I beg the question if I ask the question. I mean, this is Jimmy Carter's ex-national security advisor. Why? Why? It's genetic. That's why.
Savage.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Let's stop right there. That's one of Obama's street protesters. That's one of the sterling individuals in the Occupy movement in America, blaming the Jews. And I'm asking, it set off a shockwave through the Savage Nation. I said Jews only. If you voted for Obama, would you vote for him again? I mean, that's how I started the show. Because I would say that, I think it's, where is it written that the Jews are a stiff-necked people? I think it's in the Bible itself. We are a stiff-necked people. For you are a stiff-necked people. Stubborn? You don't know the word stubborn, what it means. How do you get through to people who are virtually committing suicide by continuing to elect officials who today are anti-Zionist, tomorrow will be anti-Semitic? And remember, it's Martin Luther King Jr. himself who is quoted as saying, make no mistake about it, anyone who says that they're anti-Zionist is really anti-Semitic. But you go to explain that to some of the evil people in the streets now espousing anti-Zionism, they wouldn't even know that. I don't think Obama would know that himself. He's having a grand old time. And Mrs. O is in Africa, by the way, if you're interested. She's having yet another very expensive vacation. We're trying to find out if she took her daughters along as senior staff. And, of course, her mother will be with her as well. I guess she goes nowhere without her. This is the administration you elected. This is the administration you put in power. I mean, if you put hillbillies into the White House, let's go the other way. Maybe you'll get the picture. Let's say two hillbillies were put into the White House, and they were abusing the White House, taking vacations, destroying the economy, attacking special groups in the country, attacking people who have money. You'd say, you got to get these hillbillies impeached. We can't take this anymore. But you wouldn't say it now. You're afraid to say it, aren't you? And you know why you're afraid to say it? Because you're afraid to say it for only one reason. And I don't even have to tell you why you're afraid to say it like it is. There's only one reason you're afraid to say it like it is about the Obamas. If they were hillbillies, you'd know what to say, wouldn't you? New York, WOR, Dave. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dave here. I voted for Obama in the primary.
Show.
Yes, I think that this has nothing to do with Jews. This is 100% just human greed. It makes no difference what country they come from or who they are. This is a part of humanity. And until you can change the heart of man, this will always be a problem. Another part of humanity is we need someone to blame, and that is where we are. They need someone to blame, and now they're blaming us. And this is wrong. This is like 1935, Germany all over again, and Obama is the one who is supporting this. He started this. He wants us all to go, but we will not.
Well, you said it all. I see it exactly the same way. We're living in the most dangerous times in America, in modern American history, ushered in by the most evil man to have ever invaded the White House. And what the irony here is that the bankers put Obama in power, and now he's turning on the very bankers who put him in power. Very similar to what was done by some Austrian in the 1930s. Am I correct about that?
Absolutely, but we should not fall into the same footsteps and start blaming everyone.
Yes, but I understand history. I'm an educated man. Take a look at the average person out there with a pair of shorts on who goes to a baseball game. Do you think he can understand any of what you and I just said? Can he understand that it was the bankers who caused the economic collapse in this country, orchestrated it from top to bottom, and then they had Obama put up there, a man no one ever heard of, the invisible man who was going to save America from the evil white man. And take a look at who he's attacking now. Now, I remind you that one Adolf Hitler came to power with money provided by the huge industrialists, by the banks of Germany at that time, and very shortly thereafter, he then attacked the bankers of Germany, and he made them work for him. And that's exactly the turning right now within the Obama administration.
Yes, they do not know history. All they know is what happened yesterday, and most of them can't even remember that. All they want to do is get high and party and complain, and it doesn't matter if it's Jews or Germans. They will stand up there and whine and cry day in and day out. Why? Because they want a free ride. We don't get a free ride. They want a free ride. Forget them. Get them to work.
Frank, I'm sending you a free copy of my best-selling novel, Abuse of Power. It's the only thing I can give my good callers. You know, you talk about complaining. This morning, I was bicycling, and I observed juvenile birds, juvenile white cranes. They were so beautiful. There must have been 50 of them. And they were feeding at low tide at an estuary that feeds into San Francisco Bay. Beautiful white cranes. And I noticed how the entire flock of birds was digging at the mud to free up whatever mollusk they were trying to get out of the mud. These little birds didn't just go into the water and start squawking or quacking, "I want free food. I want free housing. I want free tuition. I want a free cell phone. Give it to me or I'll occupy the creek." These birds went into the creek and worked at freeing up their daily bread. You see, the vermin in the gutters of America and around the world who are being extolled by Obama and the media are very, very small in number. These are essentially flash mobs of several hundred or several thousand, which is nothing in terms of the world's population of near 7 billion. These are basically malcontents, ne'er-do-wells, failures, losers, any way you want to put it, all organized by George Soros' seed money and ushered around by the unions, the evil unions that want to soak the taxpayer for their fat pensions and benefits and further bankrupt the United States of America. The idiots in the streets, the vermin, have no idea. These useless idiots in the street haven't any idea what it takes to raise food, to produce food, to distribute food on this earth. They want everything handed to them for free. I will also refer you to a movie I saw over the weekend from the 1950s, a classic called Bitter Rice. And I'll tell you why I'm going to tell you about it. It depicted how hard the Italian women worked in the rice fields after World War II. Remember, Italy was devastated by the war. There was massive unemployment, massive poverty. The Italian women, not immigrants, Italian women, maybe your grandmother, had to go into the rice fields and live through terrible deprivations to plant, to raise and harvest rice in the muddy water, or else the nation of Italy would have starved to death. In other words, even Europeans, everywhere on earth, wherever it's been required, people have gone to work if they had to. except here in the United States of America and in Western Europe, where the younger generation has gone soft. Soft first in the mind from this relentless socialist communist mentality that the state will take care of you, and the victim mentality, and the IOU mentality, and the entitlement mentality, and now we witness the sad state in America. We have an affirmative action president playing victim and joining with the so-called protesters, when in fact it was George Soros' money which puts the faker into the White House and puts the vermin into the streets. And if you think I'm just adding that on as a tagline, I invite you to michaelsavage.com, where you can intelligently investigate the research that has been done to trace these protests right back to George Soros, right back to a PR firm that organized them, a PR firm that is run by a photographer friend of none other than Bill Ayers. That is correct. This is all coming out of the White House. And if you don't know it, you should know it. I know there's an awful lot for you to understand here today. And I know that there's too much in your own life and turmoil and what to listen to all of this. But I have watched the how shall I put it, the debasement of America since this man took office, 1,000 days of terror. He is now escalating his terrorist campaign against America because America has turned on him. America sees him for what he is. He is now reverting to what he's always been, which is a communist street terrorist. That's my estimation of this administration. Make no mistake about it. We are in grave danger in this country. And the problem here is that there's no longer a two-party system. Since there is only one media in this country, and the media works hand in glove with the government, beware the government media complex, it is very difficult to see the Republicans standing up playing some of this anti-Semitic stuff coming out of these mobs and mirroring it at Obama and say, Mr. Obama, do you agree with this woman who says it's the Jewish bankers? Make Obama disavow those elements within these mobs. He is embracing them. Does he embrace all of them? Many of you support Obama. You'd say, well, he doesn't embrace them. He doesn't embrace a nut like that. How do you know he doesn't? Why is Obama not called on the carpet by the opposition party, by the invisible, non-entity, worthless John Boehner, who should get up there with that tape and put his mind on the line, put his body on the line, put his party on the line and say, Mr. Obama, you certainly don't agree with this woman when she says it's the Jewish bankers and they should be kicked out of the country. Do you, Mr. Obama? Force him to answer. But Obama won't be forced to answer. And Mrs. Obama's on a vacation right now. So I'll go to my callers. It's all I've got. Sacramento, Robbie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. I'm a Jewish conservative television writer. I've talked to you a lot of times in the past. And I have to tell you, I walked out of a meeting last week with other Jewish writers because they were all going to the Wall Street thing, and I was going to Yom Kippur services. And they laughed at that. It was like a big joke. I walked out. I went to Kol Nidre for what they are doing to our people. But what you're saying, I'm so glad you're talking about this tonight, Michael. What you said is so important, and what no one ever brings up is we're not, the saddest part of all, Michael, is we're not the big money. The big money, the old money, the blue blood money is
well, let's start with Bill Gates. Is Bill Gates Jewish?
No. No.
Is Warren Buffett Jewish?
Of course not.
No, of course not. So do you notice how Brzezinski, the anti-Semite, cleverly states that there are other good billionaires like Warren Buffett because he supports Obama? Did you notice that? But billionaires who don't support Obama are evil Jews. Did you notice this?
Absolutely. And you know what you're saying, Michael? The big money. Everyone thinks it's the Jews. We're in the entertainment business, the clothing business, the professions, retail, manufacturing, but the big money, the Gettys, the people like that, the Rockefellers, the banking, the oil money, they won't even let us in their country clubs to this very day. But they love, it's great with this Wall Street thing because we're being scapegoated, like you said, all over again.
Well, you identify yourself as being Jewish and as a TV writer. I spoke with a screenplay writer last week in Los Angeles about my novel, Abuse of Power. And we were talking, and he's pretty, I wouldn't say he's an A-lister, but he's pretty up there, okay? He's done some real movies. He told me that there's an unwritten word. You cannot show any Muslim as a terrorist in any script, in television or in the movies. Have you found that to be true?
Yes. There's a little caveat to that. You're not allowed to show Saudis as a terrorist or anything bad. Certain parts of the Muslims, the extremists, which the Saudis hate anyway, they don't mind. Because the Saudis...
Well, he told me that since 9/11, there's been not one movie that he knows of produced in Hollywood that shows Muslims as terrorists, even though it was Muslims who conducted 9/11. And by the way, for an industry which is very top-heavy with Jewish individuals, you would think that they would go out of their way to know this, and yet they protect the very people who would throw them down a well. Why is that, Robbie? How does that work?
Well, there's two reasons. Number one, I feel it personally. I've been so hated by such old, long-time friends of mine since I've called your show. And some won't even talk to me because they go, if you go on the air with Michael Savage, don't talk to me. Fine.
Well, you mean they're that open-minded as TV writers? What do they write? What kind of scripts do they write? Ellen DeGeneres Fair?
It's from Michael. If I said a name of one, you'd go through the roof that I even talked to him. It's so close. Every word you're saying is so on the money.
You believe me, I know where this is all coming from, Robbie. I wasn't born yesterday. I know who butters their bread. So, you know, you're in very good company by not being in their company. Your own company is your best company. You don't need them. They're not doing anything for you. They're the kind of people who would, act at the end of the day, cause you nothing but emotional and psychic harm. The best thing you could do is walk alone. Okay, you want to march to a different drummer? March to your own drum.
You're right. You know what else, Michael? The biggest thing, I'd love to hear your take on it, is I think the biggest problem with the Jews is they're so self-hating. They love, if they can kiss up, if they can make a Muslim like them, they'll give their firstborn.
I can't comment on that unless we're speaking about a specific individual, so I'd rather defer on that question. I don't like the phrase self-hating because I don't think it really exists. I think that it's much different than self-hating. It's something quite different. It's much more cowardly than that. It's closer to the Stockholm syndrome, whereas that if you mock your own people, you will hopefully not be seen as them, and you will be spared. I think it goes back to ancient Egypt or Babylonia. I think it goes well beyond Woody Allen. Anyway, my friend, I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power. I got to make one last point before taking a quick break. So over the weekend, I went into to my friend in the North Beach restaurant, so we're talking. You got to hear this. This is an amazing story. So Lorenzo comes over to me, and he says to me, Michael, he said, a man came in from Georgia, Atlanta, with his daughter, and he said he eats here because you eat here, and he hoped he'd run into you, this and that. And he said he bought the most expensive bottle of wine in the restaurant, and then he bought another bottle for you, which, of course, I didn't drink. I really don't drink much wine, but I accepted the gift. And he said, tell Michael that he is the Delta Force of radio, and we all love him. And I asked for the man's name, and they said he wouldn't leave his card. He wanted to be anonymous. He said he just wanted you to know how much he loves you and respects you, and he came all the way out here basically to just, in a way, say thank you for what you do, and you're the Delta Force of radio. Whoever that gentleman is in Atlanta, Georgia, I want to thank you and the thousands like you who, let us say, keep us from total and absolute chaos. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Were alive today, I believe he would remind us that the unemployed worker can rightly challenge the excesses of Wall Street without demonizing all who work there, that the businessman can enter tough negotiations with his company's union without vilifying the right to collectively bargain.
IMF Chief Christine Lagarde would be very proud of her friend Obama, both from Chicago. Obama winking and nodding at the street communists because it was all planned from the top down. These are very dangerous times that we're living in. It's very hard for me to sleep. I'm waking up in the middle of the night saying, I knew this day would come, but I didn't think it would come right now. You know, it's like you know you're going to get sick one day and die, but you don't really think you're going to get sick and die, and then you do get sick, or sometimes you just die. Well, I knew the day would come that we would have a man as dangerous as this take over the country. I just didn't know it would come this day. And now we wake up and we see him nakedly enjoying and fomenting the rabble in the streets of America. Now, many of you don't even think that this is a big deal. Many of you think this is nothing and it's going to go away. And I hope you're right. Maybe I'm just an alarmist, or maybe I'm overly sensitive. Maybe the tripwires go off first because I'm out on the edge of the perimeter and I hear them first. I don't know which way it is. I don't know that you're right. I don't know that they're going to go away. Obama's behind this. Soros is behind this. There's big money behind it. There's big organizations behind it. The unions are behind it. And they want this turmoil. They want the vilification of the wealthy in this country. They want the vilification of the productive in this country. They're making you embarrassed if you enjoy wearing a Rolex wristwatch. They're making you embarrassed if you have an engagement ring that's larger than one carat. Should that be limited by the government, perhaps? Should there be a government jewelry inspector who goes to your home if your husband is wealthy enough to buy you a 10-carat ring or a $100,000 necklace? Is that what's coming next under the communists in America today? I warn you that things start very slowly in a society. They don't occur with a bang. They don't begin with a bang. I studied the origins of the Third Reich and Hitler very carefully ever since I'm 18 years old. Do you know which law the Nazis passed first? It wasn't putting Jews into concentration camps. It was a simple, benign law. And it said Jews cannot swim in a pool with Aryans. That's all it was. No thugs, no clubs, no guns, no beatings. And the Jews said, who cares? I don't want to swim with them anyway. That's how it started. And you're watching this unfold in your country right in front of your eyes. This is the estimation of one man. Dismiss it at your own risk.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We have been talking about some shocking signs and some shocking rhetoric that's coming out of the Occupy Wall Street, Occupy LA, Occupy Chicago, Occupy a gutter near you mobs that the media is hiding from you. And I asked in the last hour after listening to this, by the way, you got to hear clip one and I'll tell you who it is. We have our name. Play clip one.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Now, if you say she's just an uneducated woman, you'd be wrong. That is L.A. Unified School District employee Patricia McAllister, who says Zionist Jews who are running these banks need to be run out of this country. This is the same rhetoric you would have heard in Himmler's time. This is the same rhetoric that you're now hearing in the streets of America. Now I'm going to go to my website and show you the connections to Soros, because many of you are, well, you can't believe it. Wall Street protests, no spontaneous uprising. It's directed by a leftist shadow organization. Read the rest of it yourself. Read it yourself. I'm not going to read you articles that excellent journalists have spent time and trouble to put together. Read it and you decide for yourself whether you think this is organic and young, the way Nancy Pelosi said it. It's organic and it's young. I wonder if Nancy Pelosi has any Jewish friends. What's that, guys? Where's that? In my house? Guys, did you hear it on the radio? Uh-oh. Well, I think somebody's abusing my power and just broke into my studio. something has gone off in my radio studio, and I have nobody here because I work alone. Why don't you play some music? I'm going to go beat it up. Hold on a minute. Play some music. Michael's here alone. You know, there are benefits to working alone in a radio station. You can focus. You don't have to perform for anybody, so you could think clearly. However, when a smoke alarm goes off and the workers are not available, I had to run down the hall and get a chair and climb up on a chair and pull the smoke alarm out of the ceiling. I mean, okay, that really just happened. A little live performance here for you on the Savage Nation. Nothing to worry about, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone, please return to your seats. Everything is fine. Okay, back to the website. That was quite a workout. A Wall Street protest, no spontaneous uprising. My novel is 5 weeks on the bestseller list now, Abuse of Power. I really suggest you understand why it's a bestseller by reading it. Israelis lose collective mind, and they're going to swap one Jewish prisoner for 1,000 Palestinian terrorists. You heard me. One Jewish prisoner for 1,000 Palestinian terrorists. If you want to see a nation committing suicide, you don't have to look at America. Look at the canary inside the coal mine, and you'll see a dead bird. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Let's see. Chavez has no more than 2 years to live. No comment. Obama says Martin Luther King Jr. would have backed Occupy protesters and protests. Therefore, he's the super radical. Video shows Jews attacked on Wall Street. You could see it for yourself. The turmoil that you're watching, the Arab turmoil in the Middle East, the architect of it, Zbigniew Brzezinski, wants the United States rich to be publicly humiliated. This is something out of communist China where they, when communism came to China, they took the bourgeoisie or the rich and they marched them through the streets of China. They abused them and they beat them and they put them into slave labor camps. It started with men like Brzezinski saying that the rich need to be called out. Why is the U.S. military in Uganda? Again, WorldNet Daily wins the gold star. Soros' fingerprints are all over it. This one man, George Soros, wherever there's a problem, he is behind it. Why is the U.S. military in Uganda? Well, read the article. Billionaire tied to political pressure behind decision and African nation's oil. Apparently he has oil interests in Uganda. You don't believe it? Then read the article and tell me why you don't believe it. Last Friday after the show, we learned that the White House will not release any cell phone records of Obama talking about Solyndra. This is the most transparent administration in which history? It's certainly not our history. He will not release his cell phone records and you're going to vote for him again? Okay, well, I can't help you if you're an ignoramus. Let's see what else. Communist mobs burn, loot, and assault in Rome. Cousins of anti-capitalist gangs. The Italian cousins of the Wall Streeters got a little more violent. Now, who is the actual bank for the street communists in New York? That's right. There's a bank. They're receiving money from fellow travelers in America, and they're depositing their money in a trade union bank. The United Federation of Teachers is acting as a bank for the street vermin in New York. White House refuses to hand over Solyndra documents. What else is in the news? Well, shall I keep going on? There's a lot more. I'll go to the bottom because I don't think you can take any more in. Catch of weapons stolen from Los Angeles SWAT training site, including machine guns. How do you like that one? How, does that give you a little confidence in the SWAT team in Los Angeles? They stored their machine guns and other heavy weapons in an unsecured facility, and, well, an unknown group broke in, cut through a series of locked doors, and stole the machine guns. On the website, Obama forbids Marines to wear memorial bracelets for fallen comrades. This is one that should make you really see things as they are, but I don't know how any Marine or soldier or airman could ever vote for this man, but I've met a lot of crazy people on Earth. You know the little bracelets that Marines wear in memory of their fallen comrades? The U.S. Marine Corps has told them they can't wear these bracelets anymore. Finally, if that's not enough for you, an 11-year-old boy, the son of two lesbians, is being given hormone shots because the boy says he wants to be a girl named Tammy. The lesbian couple gives transgender therapy to a preteen 11-year-old boy. I rest my case. The world has gone to you-know-where in a handbasket. Now I'll go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Florida, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, hi. I'm Jewish, proud Jew. I'm sick and tired of everybody in this world blaming the Jews for the world's problems. It was the 2,500 years ago, it was the people who were in power that forced us to be money changers. We happened to become phenomenal at being money changers because that's all we were able to do. They took our farms.
Oh, you mean all Jews are money changers?
No, but that's 2,500 years ago.
I know, but let's speed up the clock. We're living in America. We have our America's first black president, so-called. And look what he's doing now. Look which mob he's associating with. You voted for Obama. I mean, you vote for him again?
Would I vote for him again, Michael? I would only vote for him again if you decided to go off the air tonight. I've been listening to you for 200 nights. I've rearranged my family's dinner schedule so I could be in front of my radio at 6 o'clock at night to listen to you. And I've been a Democrat for 59 years, and I'll never vote for a Democrat involved with Obama in my life again. The things.
Bravo. You've seen the light. You've seen the light, Phil, but you're in a very small minority amongst people. You know that. You know by your own family and your brethren they're closed-minded and stiff-necked. They won't even listen to you. Is that correct?
They think Obama, 43 years later, and they still think he's walking on water. My wife included. I tell her, I'd vote for Obama. Not a second's worth of thought, just I still vote for Obama.
They're brainwashed, Phil. Do you understand that these are brainwashed people? I'm sorry to tell you, your own wife is basically robotic.
Fire Kahani, and just two words, never again.
You don't need Maya Kahani to remind you that it's happening again. It's happening again. They're vilifying Jews at these marches. What do you mean bankers and then Jewish bankers? Who do you think's next, Phil? You think it's going to be limited to Jewish bankers?
It's going to be me and you.
The president needs to stand up and say, there's no place for racism in these protests. He hasn't said that, has he? He's having a grand old time, isn't he?
All for these protests, he's just not telling us that he is, but in his heart he is.
Well, he doesn't have to tell us in his heart he is. He actually is behind it if you actually read the research, which I've done. Phil, it's heartbreaking to watch this and realize how brainwashed your own family is, but they're not alone. Many people have been hoodwinked by Obama, and they will never change, Phil. How you changed is a miracle. How did you come to see the light?
Someone told me to put on 8:50 a.m. Michael Savage, 6 o'clock at night, and I've been doing it for 200 nights, and I'm 60, just turned 60. And
so you're in Congressman Alan West's district?
Yes, I am.
Well, he's a great man. I had him in my home when I was down in Florida last year, him and his wife and daughters. Absolutely first-rate man. Phil, let me send you my novel, Abuse of Power. I'm sure you'll find it thoroughly thrilling. And I'll be right back to take your call. Didn't we have, this is the, all in this segment I ran for the smoke alarm? Charles, Yes?
Yes.
I don't even know when that occurred. It feels like it occurred yesterday.
Nope.
All right, I'm gonna take the smoke alarm now and fiddle with the battery. I'll be right back.
Savage.
First corporation in America was started with slavery. Yes, before that was gold, before that was diamond, before that was uranium in the ground, they was in the process of selling black skin. Wall Street need the wall need to go down, and we need to take back the streets.
See, that's Obama's constituency, the real constituency. This is what's behind the little white daisies sitting there with blankets on. Asking for a handout on Wall Street. Behind it is the street thugs. That's a member of the new Black Panther Party, and that's what you're going to get in America if you don't see what's going on in front of your eyes, if you don't motivate your mayors to release the police departments on these individuals. It's going to get much worse, much more violent. Mark my words, this is not the first time in American history that mobs have taken to the streets. But it is the first time in modern American history that a president has organized the mobs and has encouraged the mobs so clearly. Now, you don't know any of this because you didn't read about it in the Miami Herald or the Wall Street Journal. But that's because they're not doing the investigations that need to be done. It's the small websites like WorldNet Daily that, you know, we'll find the links. Go and look at it yourself. If you still reject it, that's your decision. But at least you can read the material. Now let's go back to the callers. Let's go to New York City. Dan, line 7, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead on WOR.
Dr. Savage?
Go ahead. Yes.
Dr. Savage, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to tell you how much I admire and respect you. Abuse of Power in 1 week, an excellent book.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry to be short of temper. With the smoke alarm and what's going on in the country, my nerves are a little shot, I'll tell you the truth. I'm on edge.
I'm a German-American Catholic, and I just wanted to say that Obama is an anti-American. He wants to destroy the middle class so we can all turn up and look to Big Brother. So wie uns ein Führer Adolf Hitler. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. He is a naked Marxist, as I pointed out in Trickle Up Poverty. He has been a lifetime Marxist. He never fooled me for 1 second. Now, why do you think they're attacking Herman Cain, snickering at him, laughing at him, ripping him to shreds? Because Herman Cain represents the opposite of Obama. Herman Cain is the real McCoy. Herman Cain is a black American, need I say that, who is an American. Obama's a individual who has been raised in anti-American philosophy, if you want to call it that, his entire life. His father was a Kenyan Marxist. His mother was a fellow traveling communist. The man has spent his entire life surrounded by radical left-wingers. Of course this is going to happen in this country.
And it's a big scam. They're taking revenge. They're going to get theirs. It's payback time. So him and Michelle go flying around and $10 million worth of vacations, you know, separately.
Why is she in Africa again? What is she doing there again? How can they be saying they're in favor of attacking the banks and greed, and the wife is on another junket to Africa? How do they get away with this?
I wonder what she's eating over there.
I don't care what she's eating. Why is she there? Why is she ripping off the taxpayer with these trips on Air Force Two?
That's right. You know, and thank God that Bibi Netanyahu had the guts to stand up to him and talk about, we're not going back to the 67 borders. You know what I mean?
Well, that was yesterday. Bibi Netanyahu just gave up 1,000 Palestinian murderers for one Jewish prisoner. Do you know that?
And how long has that young Jewish boy been imprisoned with the Arabs?
6 years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You read the stories about the parents whose girls were butchered by Palestinians who were screaming in Israel, and you don't hear a word from them. Run over by a bus. I'm sending you Abuse of Power.
Savage.
This movement is
part and parcel and in the great tradition in this country of people-powered democracy. This is a whole history of people-powered democracy that we have had throughout our history as a
Let's
country.
Stop. That's Communist Party USA, CPUSA, marches in solidarity with Obama's minions called Occupy Chicago. Okay, there it is. I've tried to tell you, but you don't want to listen. I can only do what I can do. And I want to show you the propaganda in the media. Here's a headline from the Associated Press. Prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas moves ahead. Okay, that's what's going on. Now listen to paragraph one. Jerusalem. The elaborate machinery of a prisoner swap deal between two bitter enemies swung into motion Monday as hundreds of Palestinians and one Israeli soldier prepared to return home in one of the most dramatic recent developments in the otherwise deadlocked Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So in paragraph one, they say hundreds of Palestinians. In paragraph two, you read the following. The Israel-Hamas deal to take place Tuesday morning is going ahead despite criticism and court appeals in Israel against the release of 1,027 Palestinians for a single captured Armored Corps Sergeant, Gilad Shalit, held by militants in Gaza since 2006. So the Associated Press reports in paragraph one, hundreds of Palestinians for one Israeli. In paragraph two, it's actually 1,027 Palestinians. This is what passes for journalism today. This is why America is dying, and this is how this imposter could become president. Sacramento, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. This, I'd say I'm stunned, but it's so anticlimactic.
Wait, hold on. We can't understand you. You're stunned by what?
I'm stunned by what this lady in the district, school district in L.A. This is pure.
What, protester and L.A. Unified School District employee Patricia McAllister saying, I think the Zionist Jews should be run out of this country?
This woman has to be terminated immediately. She works for the government of the state of California. She has to be terminated today.
Well, she won't be terminated. That's free speech.
She
didn't actually do anything. She didn't hurt anybody. She's just exercising a First Amendment right.
She works for the state of California. She has to be terminated toot sweet.
No, she will not be terminated. In fact, she may be hired by the state of California as propaganda minister or education minister. You never know what could happen in the Brown administration. After all, he was elected by the union, so why should he throw her out? Thanks for the call. Las Vegas, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Afternoon. I just want to tell you, I believe my wife divorced me because I've listened to your show too much. Every time I listened to it after work, she'd rush over and turn that radio off and yell at me. I'd have to go in the garage and listen to your show.
Larry, let me ask you, did you have a good marriage prior to listening to my show?
No. When the radio was off, everything was fine.
No, but I mean prior to having found my show to listen to. In other words, was your marriage stable separate from the show, or was this an excuse?
Found your show almost the same time we got married, and back just a month before 9/11, and that just led to it. I think that was a part of the reason that she divorced me, because we couldn't agree on nothing. She told me I was a doomsday person listening to your show.
Oh, she didn't want to hear the bad news, in other words. She thinks I'm making it all up.
Oh, she thought you were crazy.
Yeah, I'm crazy. That's right, I'm crazy.
You thought I was crazy,
right.
And I can't find
That's
your book
right.
anywhere in the local supermarkets when I shop, even though they have
Well, it's in Barnes & Noble, Target, and all the bookstores in Las Vegas. But I would send you two copies, but you're only one now, Larry, so I'm going to send you one copy of Abuse of Power. Would you say it's worth worth it to you, Larry? Are you still on, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Larry, is it worth losing your wife over me?
Yes, sir. I'm much happier now. I listen to your show without any interruptions.
Well, what did she object to? She just didn't like what I was saying or how I said it or both?
She would just flat out rush over and turn the radio off in anger. She would get angry.
Mm. But she wouldn't discuss any of the statements with you.
She wouldn't want to discuss anything with me. I would say...
What about separate... Okay, let's be real about it. Aside from political commentary I would make, forget me, would she have discussions with you about anything?
No, we had pretty poor communication, to be honest.
All right, so she was basically a terroristic wife.
I agree.
And she was using me as an excuse to beat you up.
Oh,
the one thing that excited your mind, she hated the most because she couldn't reach you the way I did.
That's right, and I listened to you I go nuts if my radio's off. I have to turn it on every time. I have to listen to you every single day or I go crazy. I mean, you're like an uncle and a father that never spoke to me.
Well, Larry, I would laugh if I said I didn't hear this many times. I have a unique role in America, and I really have to tell you, I know how attached the audience is to me, and how you have to understand it's a two-way street, though, Larry. I'm very attached to my audience. So it's not like I'm sitting here like some demigod throwing down lightning bolts. I'm communicating with my audience of like-minded individuals. The big problem for America today is that there's very little emotion and passion coming from the candidates themselves. Look at the Republican field. Is there anyone who reaches you the way I do? No. No. They're not talking to you. They're talking at you. They're giving you homilies. They're giving you garbage. You know that they're not going to do anything that they say they're going to do. They're going to do what their backers tell them to do. We all know that the fix is in. And that's why we're not too excited by this election. It's also why Kane is rising in the polls, because at least he speaks from the heart. At least he did. He's starting to change as well. I'm afraid he's going to go by the way of Bachman, incidentally. He's going to be another flash in the pan because he's being advised by the same dunces. That's a whole separate show, Larry. Larry, let me send you Abuse of Power. Remember what happened with Bachman? Remember she was, I got to go back because remember she was flying high and then her handler said, don't go on that Michael Savage show. He's too extreme. Or he'll ask you questions that you don't want to answer. You just keep going, girl. You just keep going, girl. You just keep looking like that Amway saleswoman, girl. You just get out there and you go on that stump and you fire him up, girl. You say nothing, but you say it with a lot of excitement, girl. You give him that big smile. You give him that lipstick. You give him the Oshkosh bagosh look. Come on, girl. You go, girl. Take a look where she is now. Invisible. Because you can't fool all the people all of the time. Period. And I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen with Kane. The man was straight out real, one from the heart, came on this show. His advisors are now telling him to stay away from you, the audience of the Savage Nation. And I say, okay, I'm going to I'm not knocking him. I'd still vote for him. But I'm telling you what's going to happen. The more he distances himself from you, the phonier he's going to get, and the lower his numbers are going to be, and he's going to become marginalized. And that is because big business and or the big powers in this country have already selected the race. It's Romney versus Obama. Now, we'd all rather see Romney than Obama, even though he's a middle of the roader. Romney's a 55%er. You'll get 55% of what you want out of him, maybe if you're lucky enough. He's zero on social issues. Just put a big zero through Romney on all social issues. He is a social liberal. At best, a social socialist at worst. However, when it comes to national security, I would rank Romney at a 90 level. I don't really know what he's going to do, but I would suspect he's far more loyal to this country, being a real American, than Obama. And I think that Romney would give us a lot more security internationally than Obama will. That's number one. I think the armed services will do much better under Romney. I believe the financial markets will be stabilized by Romney. And I believe business in general will be better off under Romney. So for those reasons alone, we'd vote for him. But don't expect much more than that from him, okay? You know, he's a fine man. I had dinner with him personally, one-on-one. It's 2 years this December. We sat in the window of that restaurant. Nice man. I was very honored to be with him. But that was the last I ever saw of him. And after that, he went in the clutches of the handlers. And I've watched these handlers on Fox News. They're horrible. They're the lowest form of humanity. Political consultants are the lowest form of humanity. If they were hired by a Hitler of our time, they would take the money and they would get Hitler elected. I know for one, some of them worked for Chavez. Some Democrat advisors went to work for Chavez. I know a lawyer in particular. Oh, a big liberal, a big First Amendment liberal out of Manhattan. I won't mention his name, but he knows who he is. Oh, a big-mouth First Amendment lawyer, one of the biggest of the big-mouth First Amendment lawyers, real liberal. He went with Jimmy Carter to certify that Chavez's election was honest. Now, you have to ask yourself something. Why would a liberal want Chavez to be elected in that horrible South American nation of his? I don't know. You'd have to ask the liberal why they seem to back dictators. They backed one here in America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we're living in strange times, but as the ancient Greek philosopher said, it's great to be living in interesting times. And under Obama, we're sure living in interesting times, making a transition to a socialist government right in front of your eyes without you even knowing it through sleight of hand. How about cassette tape? The Oxford English Dictionary has dropped the word cassette tape from the pages of its concise edition to put in new words such as retweet and cyberbullying. Yes, cassette tapes are gone. There are new words being put into the Oxford English Dictionary, but cassette tape is not one of them. Can't even make it into the dictionary. Your kids probably don't even know what a cassette tape is. How about an 8-track? Has your kids ever seen an 8-track? You should save them, sell them on eBay. How about a rotary phone? How about a rotary phone? Remember when you went from a rotary to a push-button phone? Yep, list of things in America that are changing. Communist president. Reno, Nevada. Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Doc Savage, I think my dog died because I listened to you. I'm just kidding you. I think they're going to change the name of your dog, Eddie, in your book. I think they're going to change his name and also change him into a potbelly pig.
Oh, you mean if Hollywood got a hold of the film rights and made the movie, that's one of the things they would do, huh?
Oh, absolutely, right off the bat.
Yeah, and they would make Jack Hatfield into some hillbilly a racist cracker, no doubt, pursuing innocent Muslims who, of course, never commit terrorism anywhere on Earth.
100%. I have to tell you, sir, I love you, and I would take a bullet for you, God's honest truth. You are the best, and you keep...
Well, you don't have to take a bullet for me, Nick. No one's firing any bullets at me. I'm just firing missives at them. Nick, I'm sending you another copy of Abuse of Power to give to a liberal relative. You can give it out for Christmas if you wish. It's never too soon. Portland, Marcia, thanks for holding. One of my 39 women listeners. Go ahead, Marcia.
Well, I'm a Jewish woman. I live in occupied Portland. And
yep, I can imagine what it's like for you.
Yeah, you know, they aspire to be like San Francisco. That's their
yes.
goal.
Yes.
You give us good insight about San Francisco.
Oh, yes. San Francisco is a wonderful city. However, it's marked by tremendous problems, a broken infrastructure, bums in the street. Now they're camping out in Justin Herman Plaza and defecating in the streets. It's horrible what these street vermin are doing. But I'm sure you have your near-do-wells in Portland doing the same.
Yeah, I don't even want to go down that town now. I can't remember the last time I was forced to go down there.
Well, in New York, they've taken over Zucchini Park. I know they used to call it Zuccotti Park, but with all the veggies that are rotting in the park, I'm renaming it Zucchini Park. Marcia, so you're calling the show for what reason tonight?
Well, I lost many, many friends and relatives over this Obama issue. It started back when he was running, and I could tell from the Reverend Wright business and all the information you and the Internet had to say about him and who he was that he gave off the vibrations of what he's turning out to be.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. He is exactly what we told you he would be. And this is not over yet. He's just warming up now. Now he's unleashed the mobs onto America. You haven't seen the Black Panthers yet. That's coming next. That's the second volley coming.
It's just like Nazi Germany was, you're right.
Well, it's not exactly like it, but there are parallels that should not be overlooked. If you overstate the situation, people aren't going to listen to you. It's very similar to the Weimar Republic, not to Nazi Germany. In the Weimar Republic, Germany was reeling from the reparations of World War I. There was massive unemployment, huge runaway inflation, and the communists were doing exactly what the Occupy people are doing in America. It started this way, and then it became violent. Then they became very violent. Then they started to break windows, as they're doing in Italy, and start fires and attack people. It became so bad that citizen patrols were formed. And they then merged into the Nazi brown shirts, who got into pitched battles with the street communists, and that led to the rise of Adolf Hitler. That's the absolute reality of it. I am begging the mayors of this city to use the police now to break up these communist mobs before we see a similar event in America. That is my plea, but I'm not being heard. Look at Coward Bloomberg in New York. Take a look at what he just did.
Well, do you know who the mayor of Portland, Oregon is?
I believe it's, isn't it she, a creature from San Francisco?
Sam Adams.
And, Sam Adams? He's not of the beer fame, is he?
No. He's,
one of your early mayors, wasn't she a feminist from San Francisco?
One of the early mayors, Mayor Katz, she was from New York.
Yeah, oh, another prize. Yes, another red diaper dopa baby. Mayor Katz. So Mayor Katz has been replaced by a male red diaper dopa baby in Portland?
I forget who replaced her, but now we have the Sam Adams. And he was accused of having sex with an underage boy.
I can see how he got elected in Portland then. I'm sorry. I didn't know what his bona fides were.
Yeah.
Now I understand why. Now I understand why he won by a landslide in Portland.
And he's put all this.
I mean, if he was accused of having sex with animals, he could be president.
He's put all this money into bike lanes, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. They're really efficient. They really help traffic a great deal.
And now they're only going to collect garbage every other week.
Well, there should be no garbage in an ideal communist society. Right. We should eat our own refuse.
The chamber.
You see, in an ideal communist society, there would be no garbage because there'd be no people. Everybody would just disappear by starving to death, and then the earth would be perfect in the ideal eco-commie society. Okay, Marsha, we've had our fun, but I'm sending you a special present for Thanksgiving. A Halloween. I'll make it a Halloween present, Abuse of Power. It's sold out. I go into my local Barnes & Noble. It's not there anymore. It's heartbreaking. I don't know whether it's sold out or they buried it already. Publisher's happy. It's selling. And I'm talking with my agent about making it into a movie. I'll give you more about it this week. I tell them don't even think about it because they're not going to make it into a movie. And if they do, they'll butcher it. I have one idea. I'm not going to mention who because that'll make it backfire. But the man is so big and he has been around so long and he's such an icon in Hollywood. And he's so above politics that if he picked up this book, he would not be able to put it down. It would be an instant hit as a movie. So I'm working on that angle. Otherwise, I have another plan, which is I may actually produce the film myself, Abuse of Power, believe it or not. And I'll tell you more about that. Give me about a month to even get back to you on that. I think this will be a movie, but it's a $30 million production budget at the very least. This is not a $3 million low-budget movie. I mean, this is a big deal. But I could raise the money. I know I could. After all, I know all the billionaire Zionists on Wall Street. I mean, we all have dinner every night together with Teddy in a private dining room on Wall Street. Yeah, right. but that's not a lot of money, I mean, to raise today. It's nothing. I mean, all I have to do is go to my own audience. I could probably raise the money through you. You know, and then we'd have the movie. Then we'd have to distribute it. We'd hit every roadblock in the world. You think that the theater owners are going to distribute my movie? You think they would distribute a movie that's so utterly great and real, such an action movie like this? Well, yes, if they changed the terrorist to white supremacist, sure. If they turned the hero, Jack, into a villain and then turned Teddy, my 11-pound poodle, into a potbelly pig, they'd produce it in a hot second. So therefore, I don't even know if I want to see it as a movie. It's good enough as a novel. You know, there doesn't always have to be a next step in life, does there? Does there always have to be something more in a next step? Why? Can I take a breather? Why do I have to now have a movie produced? Why? Because I'm still alive, my brain is active, and I wanted to see it as a film. That's all. No other reason. Because I'm still alive, and I'm still breathing, and I want to see Abuse of Power made into a film. No other reason.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Google Jews control Wall Street. Google Jewish billionaires. Google Jews in the Federal Reserve Bank. The small ethnic Jewish population in this country, they have a firm grip on America's media, finances, and also and other areas of production.
As you just heard, what the media is hiding from you is that the people behind the Occupy Wall Street crowd are Jew haters, America haters. They are anti-Semites posing as anti-Zionists, and so is your president. Your president, not my president, your president is supporting these mobs. Your president is supporting the street rabble, and they want Jews run out of this country. You didn't hear it? Listen to it again.
I think that the Zionist Jews who are running these big banks in our Federal Reserve, which is not run by the federal government, they need to be run out of this country.
Google Jews control Wall Street. Google Jewish billionaires. Google Jews in the Federal Reserve Bank. The small ethnic Jewish population in this country, they have a firm grip on America's media, finances, and also and other areas of production.
The fact of the matter is, this is the most terroristic administration in American history. We have proof that the Wall Street protests are not spontaneous. They have been clearly organized. The money comes from Soros himself. It is directly tied to Soros, directly tied to a PR firm run by a friend of none other than the terrorist Bill Ayers. It's frightening that you don't understand this. Occupy Wall Street protesters are anti-Semitic, they are very dangerous, they are communists, they are Jew haters. They hate capitalism, they hate your way of life. Be very aware that your president speaks for them, not for me.
Jesus, in the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus referred to certain elements in the Jewish community as children of the devil, chapter 8, I believe. But having said that, the fact of the matter is that there is clear the fingerprints of these Jewish billionaires and hedge fund managers and bankers is clear and convincing. I'm against the Jews who are robbing America or who are silent about their brethren robbing America. Google Jewish billionaires. Half the billionaires in this country are Jewish. Represent 2% of the population, but they are that 1% that seems to control America. And you can also Google Jews control America. There's a lot of research that's been done to prove that there appears to be some kind of ethnic grip on the American economy.
Yeah, come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. I now want to talk about the cranes versus the vermin. I was bicycling this morning, and I watched some juvenile white cranes feeding at low tide in an estuary that feeds into San Francisco Bay. And I noticed how the cranes all were digging at the mud to free up whatever mollusk they were trying to get to eat. They didn't just go into the estuary and start quacking, I want free food, I want free tuition, I want free housing, I want a free cell phone, I want a free nest, and I want you to kick out the Zionist birds. They didn't say, give it to me or I'll occupy the creek. These juvenile cranes went in the creek and worked at freeing up their daily bread. The vermin in the gutters of America and around the world are very small in number. They're flash mobs of several hundred or several thousand, which is nothing. They're basically malcontents, ne'er-do-wells, failures, losers, any way you want to put it, organized by Soros' minions and money and ushered around by the union thugs, the evil unions that want to soak the taxpayer for their fat pensions and benefits, and further bankrupt the United States of America. The idiots in the streets have no idea. These useless idiots in the street haven't any idea what it takes to raise food, to produce food, to distribute food on this earth. They want everything handed to them for free. And that is a direct result of their abysmal education, which is fundamentally zero. I'll refer you also to a movie from the early 1950s, a classic entitled Bitter Rice, about Italy after World War II, directed by Giuseppe DeSantis, which depicts how hard the Italian women worked in the rice fields, how hard and through what deprivations the Italian women themselves worked to plant, to raise and harvest rice, or the nation of Italy would have starved to death. In other words, everywhere on earth, wherever it's been required, people have gone to work if they had to, except now here in the United States of America and in Western Europe, where the young idiots have gone soft. Soft first in the mind from this relentless socialist communist mentality and the victim mentality and the owe me mentality and the entitlement mentality. And now we witness this sad state in America. We have an affirmative action president playing victim and joining with the so-called communist protesters when in fact it was George Soros's money which put the faker into the White House and bankrupted America through the banks and put the vermin in the streets, in my estimation. Just remember, the animals are to be more respected than the vermin in the streets of Wall Street and elsewhere.
Savage.
I remember when I was a young biology student at Queens College, you know, little peon in the classroom. And our heroes were Watson and Crick, going back to, wow, another age. They uncoiled the double helix of DNA. So they were the heroes, even though allegedly they ripped it off from a lab assistant, a woman assistant, a radiological specialist, who I'm sorry to tell you, I forget her name. But it was her X-ray crystallography that I think actually deciphered the double helix, if I remember correctly. It's 50 years ago, so forgive me. So anyway, I'm a young undergrad, you know, mediocre student at best, very bad interest, and I was interested in things, but I was a bad student. So our heroes were Watson and Crick. But when one of them won the Nobel Prize, and I think it was Watson, I don't know which, they showed him at Cambridge when he's giving a lecture, and a student comes up and says, "Sir, you've just won the Nobel Prize." And he says with the then very famous British, you know, understatement, he says, "Yes, thank you," and he goes on with his lecture. No popping of champagne, no hoorays, no celebrations, and he went on with his life, and because that's the way he was. As a matter of fact, Watson was recently fired from Cold Spring Harbor, wasn't he, for saying something politically incorrect about 5 years ago? Didn't he say something equivalent to Rick's Rock? I mean, didn't they try to smear him with the Rick's Rock thing? Yeah. See, they take a great man like that, a great scientist like that, says one wrong word, and he gets thrown out of Cold Spring Harbor, thrown out of science, because, you know, we're living in a terrible age, by the way. We're not living in the age of enlightenment anymore. Not with Obama. He introduced the age of something else. He didn't bring in the age of enlightenment. Let's be clear. Obama ushered in another age. I haven't defined yet what it is. But it's not the age of enlightenment. I think the age of enlightenment ended a long time ago, long before Obama. But this man did not bring in the age of progressivism either. He brought in the age of something much different. Some would say the age of tyranny. But he's so good at it, so silk smooth at it, you don't even know that you're being put into the chair. You don't even know you're being strapped into the chair or strapped onto the gurney. He's so smooth at it, you're putting your hands into the cuffs. He is so smooth at it, you're taking the bagel on the way into the boxcar. You're saying could have another smear of cream cheese on the way into the boxcar. But all right, you don't want to know that. You want to live in a dream world because you can go buy a green tie, red tie, yellow tie. You can buy a red car, blue car, yellow car. You can buy a big car, small car, medium car. You can buy an SUV, an LEV, an LSMFT, and you think you're free. You're not free. You're a slave. You are a slave, and I don't mean a wage slave. That's been said a long time ago. You are a slave of your own views of progressivism. You don't even understand what you're talking about when you think that Obama's a progressive. But again, I don't want to go there. I wanted to talk about Amanda Knox. I was pleased to see it was a story today so I can get off and the abusive power of the British and American governments. But all roads lead back to the same abusiveness. At the end of the day, all roads lead back to the abuse of a government. And it's a very frightening thing to say. Here I was, a man who had never committed a crime, never appeared as a defendant in a criminal trial, never accused of an actual crime, and yet I was put on a list with Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants, put on a list with a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and crushed in the head of their four-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. Why was I put on a list with these criminals without a trial? Amanda Knox was given a trial and an appeal. I wasn't even given a trial by the people who invented the Magna Carta. So again, I'm harping on that old story. You're bored of it, aren't you? Banned in Britain. But you didn't really care about my book, Banned in Britain, or about my story being banned in Britain, because you didn't hear about it, read about it, see about it, talk about it. So I said, all right, the only way to reach the American people is through a novel. Do you realize what a long shot just came in for me? Do you have any idea, if you're a betting man, what this is? The guy feels he has a grudge against the government that did this to him. He writes a nonfiction book and, a couple of thousand people. He has a radio show. No one really cares. It's forgotten, buried. Old story, gone. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll fictionalize the story to show what's really going on. And all of a sudden, the book is on the New York Times bestseller list as a fiction, as a story. It's unheard of. When have you heard of a political man writing a fictionalized book about a plight he has who hits it so high on a New York Times bestseller list? When have you ever heard about this? I don't think I've heard about it. There may be a few cases. A few ideas come to mind, but not in fiction. I mean, Emile Zola wrote a book, but he didn't fictionalize it in order to trumpet the cause of someone who had been falsely condemned for a crime he didn't commit. I think he has a descendant, this guy, who's a bad movie actor. I forget his name. Dreyfus. The world's worst actor in history. But the Dreyfus affair, man sent to Devil's Island for a crime he didn't commit, railroaded by the French government. No one ever heard of him. Nobody would do a thing for him. And then Emile Zola went to his defense, but he didn't write a novel. He just started to talk about it, and then he got him, you know, got him off. And he got Dreyfus back to the military. Nobody went to my defense. So here I am, still doing it. You want me to tell you what my age is? I can guarantee you'd be shocked to find out that men half my age don't have my energy. Why? What motivates me? I have no idea. I don't know. My quest for personal justice, personal freedom, supersedes even my sense of safety. Do you know that? Do you hear what I just said to you? That's a pretty amazing statement. Because if you're not willing to speak out, you are already a slave. If you are not willing to express your political opinions at work or at home, you're already a slave. JD in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, finally, after 4 years, I have the privilege of speaking with you. I love your stories. I'm an old New Jersey guy who went into New York every day in the 60s and 70s. I love your stories growing up. But
I love Las Vegas. I don't go there anymore. I had an apartment there for a while. I'd go there. I used to eat an Italian restaurant down the street that I liked where they arrested those two New York homicide cops who were working for the mob. Very colorful city.
Would that be the... son of a gun, I can't think of the name.
You know, you remember those guys? They were retired NYPD detectives, but they were on the payroll of the gangs in New York, and they were actually doing hits for the mob. And they arrested them in their jumpsuits in Las Vegas in that in the restaurant. They took them out of the restaurant in their jumpsuits.
The two New York cops, yeah, that one wrote a play, tried to get a TV movie, and the other guy...
There you go, right. Really upstanding, wonderful people. They give all police such a good name. They're like the liberal poster... They're poster boys for liberals' hatred for police. J.D., what's the climate? I don't mean, temperature-wise. The housing is horrible in Vegas now, right?
I've lived here for 40 years, doctor, and this is the worst I've ever seen it. We have more illegal aliens doing all kinds of stuff. We are the highest in bankruptcies, the highest in foreclosures, the highest in unemployment. They say it's 14%, but our state, our senator, Whorehouse Harry Reid, says, it's not that high. We probably are about 22% in unemployment. I've been coming to this town since 66, moved here in 77. I have never seen it so bad.
How do you take the heat in the summer in Las Vegas? How do you deal with it?
You don't go outside.
You just stay in air conditioning, that's it?
July, August, and September, you get up at like I have at 5 o'clock in the morning. You get your business and things done by 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and then you don't go out until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night when the sun goes down.
It sounds like Miami in August. I mean, I can't even take Florida in the summer.
I was in Myrtle Beach last year in July. It was 97 degrees with 90-some humidity. The saving grace, you've been out here. We don't have humidity.
You don't have an ocean. You can't jump in the ocean. But I went to Florida like 2 weeks ago. It was like sticking my head in a pizza oven when I came out of the house. I felt as though I was back as a kid in a bagel bakery. A bagel bakery. It was so hot, I couldn't take it. And then I went in the ocean. It was full of jellyfish. I couldn't even swim.
Hey,
J.D., I'm going to tell you, J.D., I'm going to send you a copy of Abuse of Power. Stay on the line. You're going to get a free copy to read around Vegas, start the ball rolling, and stuff like that. We got wonderful callers. We got people listening from around the country, mainly men, truthfully. It's not a woman's show. This is not a – I mean, there are maybe 13, 14 women members of the Savage Nation across the country, admittedly. It's mainly grouchy old white males, maybe 200-300 white males across America listen to me. No one else does. Now, allegedly, it's the third largest radio show in America.
Savage.
The Obama administration recently stated that Iran was behind a plot to assassinate the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States. Was this really a plot, or is it something created by the Obama administration? Joining us to talk about this is Eric Stackelback, a correspondent and terrorism analyst for CBN News. Eric Stackelback, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to be here.
Well, what does Obama claim Iran has done in this so-called plot against the Saudi ambassador?
Well, Michael, look, the Obama administration is saying that basically elements of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, which are really the vanguards of the Iranian regime, these are nasty guys. They're in charge of the nuclear weapons program there. They have a big stake in Iran's economy. They're in charge of all of Iran's international terrorism. They answer only to Iran's supreme leader. So the Obama administration is saying that elements of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards try to basically contract out to a Mexican drug smuggling organization based in Mexico, the Zetas drug smuggling organization, basically that the Iranians try to get a Mexican drug smuggling operation to assassinate the Saudi ambassador to the United States, to blow up the Saudi embassy and blow up the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Now, the point man for this plot was an Iranian-American living in Texas. He approached what he thought were members of this Mexican drug cartel. In reality, Michael, they were DEA agents, and the plot was busted up. But the bottom line here is the Obama administration was saying that the Iranian regime was plotting to blow up the Saudi and Israeli embassies in Washington, D.C. and assassinate top diplomats on American soil.
Oh, look, Iran's a bad nation run by an evil man, but does it sound like something Iran would actually do?
This sound, you know, a lot of people are saying, Michael, they are surprised by this plot. To me, I'm not surprised at all. Iran has been at war with us for 32 years. They have had a history of carrying out these types of plots, these types of attacks. Now, thank God this time it wasn't successful. It was foiled. But in the past, in our hemisphere, in our backyard, in the Western Hemisphere, 1992, we saw the Iranians blow up the Israeli embassy in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. In 1994, we saw the Iranian regime blow up a Jewish community center, also in Argentina. There is a history here of Iranian plots against American interests. Of course, we can go back to 1983. The Marine barracks bombing in Beirut killed 243 U.S. Marines. And 1996, the Khobar Towers bombing in Saudi Arabia killed 19 U.S. servicemen. Michael, all of these plots had Iranian fingerprints on them, and also Hezbollah fingerprints. They are, remember, Hezbollah is Iran's proxy. They're an arm of the Iranian regime. So basically, plot after plot against American interests, and we've taken it on the chin. For 32 years, we have never struck back against Iran, and I think this latest plot, targeting diplomatic representatives on American soil, embassy on American soil, they knew, according to some of the phone conversations that were captured in this plot by American authorities, the Iranians knew that there would be collateral damage, innocent Americans killed if these plots were successful. They did not care. To me, Michael, this plot shows an increasingly emboldened Iran. They have taken Obama's measure. They have found him weak.
Now, what's the history between Iran and Saudi Arabia? I know Iran are mainly Shia Muslims, and Saudi Arabia is mainly Sunni Muslims.
Well, Iran and Saudi Arabia are rivals for regional dominance in the Middle East. The Saudis are probably the most storied Sunni power in the Middle East, most influential Sunni power in the Middle East, and Iran is the Shiite superpower. So for the past 32 years or so, since that Iranian regime came to power under the Ayatollah, they've been at each other's throats for regional dominance. The Saudis, and I could tell you, Michael, from working here in Washington, D.C., talking to some top diplomats from the Arab world, the Saudis fear the prospect of a nuclear-armed Iran. It is their greatest fear in the region. There have even been some rumors that the Saudis would allow the Israelis to use Saudi airspace to go and bomb those Iranian facilities. So they fear the Iranians. They fear that Shiite growing Persian power. The Iranians are trying to reestablish in many ways the old Persian Empire and have regional dominance. The Saudis do not like that. They want to project their influence worldwide. But I'll tell you, Michael, Iran has been trumping them at every turn. Iran globally now and is obviously projecting their power, we see from this latest plot, but also in the Middle East. Look, Iran is the strong horse. If they acquire a nuclear weapon, absolutely, all bets are off the table, and the rest of the Middle East will fall in line. That's what Iran wants. They want to lead the Muslim world in a final confrontation with Israel and the West. They do not respect the Saudi regime. The Iranians view the Saudi regime as infidels who are pawns of America and pawns of the Zionists. That's how they view the Saudis. Iran wants to be the leader in the Muslim world. You have Iran leading what's known as the resistance bloc, Iran, Syria, Hamas, Hezbollah, and increasingly Turkey. And then you have the Saudis who have kind of played it safe in many ways, although they have exported radical Islam around the globe for the past three decades with their oil wealth. They've kind of played it safe in terms of having an alliance with America and kind of having an alliance with Jordan. They're looked at in American eyes as one of the more moderate regimes in the Middle East. But Iran absolutely is the kingpin. The Saudis fear them. There's a mutual animosity and hatred there.
So who do we actually face the most danger from?
Well, look, I think the prospect, Michael, of a nuclear-armed Iranian regime is the greatest danger America is facing right now. I say that for a few reasons. Number one, not only is Iran very close to acquiring nuclear weapons, I just spoke to an Israeli diplomat, a top Israeli diplomat this week, who told me, look, we believe Iran has enough low-yield enriched uranium to build three or four nuclear bombs now. They need that delivery system, obviously, to deliver the bombs, and they need to enrich that uranium. There's a few final steps that need to be taken, but they are very, very close to having that nuclear weapons capability. Now, why is that dangerous for America? Two things here. Number one, in the Iranian ideology, Israel is only the little Satan. It's America that is the great Satan and the ultimate prize. We are the ultimate target, because at the end of the day, Michael, we are the only restraining force, in Iran's view, that's holding them back from global Islamic domination. Here's another reason a nuclear-armed Iran is such a threat. Iran right now, according to our own Pentagon just released a report last year saying that Iran is only a few years away, 2015, from acquiring intercontinental ballistic missiles that could reach the east coast of the United States, where I'm sitting right now in Washington, D.C., New York, D.C., Boston, Philadelphia, within 3.5 years. According to our own Pentagon, these major east coast American cities will be in reach of Iranian missiles, and those missiles will be nuclear tipped. At the end of the day, this is a messianic, apocalyptic apocalyptic regime, and Michael, you and I have talked about this on the show before, they truly believe that the Islamic Messiah, the Mahdi, is about to return to Earth. They see the so-called Arab Spring as a divine signal from Allah that the end times are near and that the Iranians can help usher in the end. What better way to do it than to use a nuclear weapon? We know they'll hit Israel. When Ahmadinejad talks about wiping Israel off the map, they mean business. We know they will hit Israel, but they will also hit the U.S. We are the great Satan, remember, and they are actively working on the technology to do just that.
Well, do you think, as I do, that the Obama administration will use this to lead up to some bigger action, a war perhaps, in order to distract the American public and get reelected?
You know, it's very tough to say. A lot of people have asked me that. On one hand, I see the Obama administration's strategy towards Iran has been ridiculously weak. Everything from Obama sitting on his hands in June 2009, when a million young Iranians took to the streets to protest that regime, Obama said, and I quote, "We don't want to meddle." Extending an outstretched hand only to be slapped away time and time again, embarrassingly so, by the Iranians. That's why one of the reasons Iran felt so bold to hatch this plot on American soil. They don't fear us. They don't fear the Obama administration. They know all they're going to get is more toothless sanctions and more rhetoric about how Obama's going to unite the international community, yada, 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 against Iran. But, Michael, you bring up an interesting point. On the other hand, the Obama administration is having a lot of difficulties, obviously, on the domestic front. The election is in jeopardy, quite frankly, in 2012, whether he's going to get reelected or not. And, hey, is it beyond this administration to, you know, manufacture a crisis? Who knows? But I will say I believe that, yes, Iran is the greatest threat facing America from a national security standpoint. How this administration treats it and how they're going to go up against it is it's a tough thing to answer. I don't see them taking military action. I just can't see the Obama administration taking military action. But, hey, you never know. You talk about distracting from problems at home. Who knows?
Eric Stackelbeck, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks. Always a pleasure to be with you. And you can pick up my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. And also check out my show, Stackelbeck on Terror, at cbnnews.com. Thanks again.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This organic movement that has cropped up all over the country, that has occupied Wall Street and has become Occupy Boston and Occupy Miami and all over the country, is really symbolic of the frustration that middle-class folks and working people feel, that the wealthy seem to always have the wind at their backs, and at the end of the day, that they need to make sure that our economic policy is reflective of helping the middle class get ahead.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. Remember 6 months ago, there was a man who built the driving force behind the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and he was a major operative in cybersecurity for America, and he was found wandering around in the streets of Washington, D.C., and then his body was found thrown in a dumpster in Delaware. Remember, in a landfill? Notice how that's been swept under the rug. Can you believe you're living in a free country anymore? Do you believe you're living in a free country anymore? When that story, that death, that man with his prominence has been swept under the rug. You are living in a banana republic. If whoever killed him can get away with that, they can kill any one of us and get away with it, because your mind is distracted by the filth, by the pornography and the sports that they force down your throat like geese being fattened up for your liver. And so therefore, I could not believe that this story had been dropped. So what I did was I fictionalized that character in my book, Abuse of Power, okay? So I'm going to read to you that little setting. So Jack is in his room working on a clock to calm his mind down. Over the years, Jack's interest had expanded from watches to clocks. His father said he'd move backward because clocks were larger and easier to repair. But Jack loved the sound of the bells when they struck on the half and on the hour. Winding one particular wall clock seemed to reset his mind. It was his favorite, a walnut German Berliner made by Kienzel in 1880. The brass face was embossed with a winged angel, the pendulum driven by an eight-day spring-wound movement that played the Westminster chimes on the half hour. Jack often smiled at the irony of being banned from entering Britain as he listened to the harmonious gongs. Okay, so he's working on his clock, so we're moving along now to page 121. And now he's working on a particular watch. And the watch he's working on is a Hamilton Gilbert, which is, interestingly enough, I went and bought one on the Internet, which broke because I overwhelmed it. I had to send it back to the clockmaker. So he's working on this Hamilton Gilbert circa 1952, which was a very popular pocket watch at the time that was often given to employees after a certain number of years of service, blah, blah, blah. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's working on his clocks. It was nearly 3 a.m. and the sound startles him when his cell phone rings. Who would be calling him at this time of morning? Setting the watch down, Jack fumbled the phone from his pocket, checked the screen, and saw that the number was blocked. He pressed the receive button, put it on speaker, and placed the phone on the desk. Hello? There was static on the line, followed by a moment of silence. Then a slurred but familiar voice said, Hatfield, sat you? Bob Copeland. He sounded as if he might be drunk. Hatfield, you there? It was unusual for Copeland to be calling him directly like this. With his penchant for secrecy, their normal mode of communication was a text message, like earlier tonight, and Jack had no doubt that those messages went through half a dozen encryption filters before they reached his phone. Yeah, Bob, it's me. What's going on? Are you okay? What? The static flared up again, and if Copeland said anything more, Jack missed it. Bob, did you hear me? Can't find my other shoe. Where the hell is my shoe? Definitely drunk or even drugged, although Copeland had never struck Jack as a big fan of pharmaceuticals. Listen to me, Bob. Tell me where you are. Are you at home? More static. Bob? Upstream, Jackie boy. Definitely upstream. Gotta get out of here. Gotta look after the twins. Jack had no idea what Copeland was talking about, but if he wasn't at home, he definitely shouldn't be driving. Whatever you do, Jack told him, don't get behind the wheel. You hear me? Leave your car where it is and call yourself a cab. What? Call a cab, Bob. I mean it. Promise me you won't drive. No driving, Copeland murmured, his voice sounding distant as if he'd lowered the phone. Can't find my damn shoe. Jack was about to insist he let him pick him up when the line clicked and the phone went dead. Jack sighed. He knew Copeland and, anyway, you know how this one ends, don't you? Well, I wrote the Copeland character into the book because I am shocked that we live in a nation where a man so high up in the defense establishment who had been working on American cybersecurity could obviously be assassinated and his body unceremoniously thrown into a dumpster, and the media completely ignores the story. We are living in a banana republic. There are no journalists anymore. This story should have been pursued by 10 journalists, let alone 1,000. Let's go to New York City on WOR. Time is short. Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. You've been saying for such a long time that liberalism is a mental disorder, and I want to give you an example that I heard that really reminded me of that. I heard on another station, a progressive, saying that we should devote as much attention to Christian fanaticism and Christian radicalism as far as terror attacks go as we would to Islamic terrorism.
Now, that's the latest thing. That's coming from the Muslim fanatics who are in the Homeland Security Department. That's the official line of the federal family under Big Sis. He figured out that if you can bash Christians, you can curry favor with the Muslims, you know what I mean? And there's an awful lot of Muslims voting for Obama these days because his middle name ain't Christ. His middle name is Muhammad. See, I mean, his middle name ain't Muhammad nor Christ. I mean, his middle name, as you well know, is Hussein. And so, therefore, you got to understand where the numbers are. You're asking me another question, which is what causes liberalism, the mental disorder? Isn't that your real question?
I mean, essentially, when I heard this...
Well, what causes liberalism is the desire to be loved. Liberals generally want to be loved by everybody. They don't want anyone to dislike them.
I want to be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you.
And it is. And by the way, most liberals are nice people. Most of them are very nice people. They don't bother anybody. They want to be left alone. And they figure that if they stay out of your life, you'll like them and they'll, you know, basically they're good. And their idea of a conservative is a Nazi. They think that most Republicans secretly have SA or SS uniforms and a picture of Hitler in their living room. And this, of course, is an example of the insanity of liberalism in its extremes, just as there are extremes on the conservative side, as exemplified by, I don't know who, really, I don't even know of any extremists anymore. I think they've all left the right side. They're all leftists today. But nevertheless, the fact is that liberals have this horrible prejudice against any Republican, assuming, look at it this way, most liberals think of them, try to visualize what a liberal is. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David. In the form of a man, it would be Larry David. In the form of a woman, it would be Larry David in drag. That would be a woman liberal who at every turn, every chance he gets, he bashes Christians, the cross, or Christianity, and assumes that any Republican is a Nazi. This is a product of growing up, in my opinion, in a kind of a labor front home in New York City as a child, oilcloth on the floor. The father worked in the ILGWU, even though he was a man. He was in the needle trades one way or the other. And hated the owners and thought that one day there would be a workers' revolution and the workers would run the country. Well, take a look at every country where the workers have taken over and you'll see what happens when workers take over. I don't want to go down that road. So that's it. Basically, liberals are nice people, but they're mentally deranged at a certain point.
Seven.